Lesson this morning, I'd like to do a lesson on how to discern the leading of the Holy Spirit. Probably the question I get asked more than any other particular question as a pastor is, how can I know the will of God? And people ask you that question quite often. I found that 90% of the questions concerning the will of God are already found in the Bible. And, you know, it's just going to the right particular passage and what does the Bible say about this issue. There's about 10% where it's a choice between two good things. I'll give you an example. You've been unemployed for 3 months. You've put out, you know, scores of resumes and applications, and then finally you get two job offers in 1 week. Which job do you take? That's where the will of God comes in as far as... Oh, yeah, I got to turn that on there. Am I on? Okay. Yes, okay. So, you know, you're trying to find the will of God, and, you know, that's where it really... is more than just searching the scriptures, but it's praying and seeking the Lord for that direct leading. Now, along this line of knowing the will of God is how to determine the leading of the Holy Spirit. As a pastor, and I'm sure Pastor Stastny could say the same thing, some people, when they say, I believe God is leading me to, you see all these red flags go up. And you know the individual that they're not one who's really spiritual discerning. They're not spiritually mature. And as a pastor, I've had a lot of people say, I believe God's leading me to leave this church. And they don't have another church that they're being led to. I think, you know, God's just leading us to sit out of church for a while, for instance. Is God leading them to do that? Well, let's look at the scriptures here, how to discern the leading of the Holy Spirit. We'll begin with prayer. Now, Father, we thank you for this opportunity to be here with Castlegar Baptist Church. And Lord, we pray that you would indeed bless this service today, bless each and every one that is here. And then, Lord, I pray that you'd help me to say what you'd have me to say. And then I also want to ask that you'd bless our church back in Sherwood Park and be with the men that are preaching today. We ask this now in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, as we think about the leading of the Holy Spirit, I was asked this question a few weeks ago in our church, and so I prepared this Bible study. And it was a great blessing to our people, so I thought that this would perhaps be a blessing to you as well. One of the great blessings or privileges we have as God's children is to be able to be led by the Spirit of God. The Bible tells us, and I've got these verses, most all of them are going to be written out in your notes. And if anybody, did everybody get a copy of the notes? You're good there? Okay. The Bible says in Romans 8:14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. So if you're a child of God, you can be led by the Spirit of God. It's a wonderful privilege. You don't have to be what we'd call a super saint to be able to be led by the Spirit of God. Every believer can and should be led by the Spirit of God. Galatians 5:18 says, but if you are led by of the Spirit, you are not under the law. The believer is to walk in the Spirit, to follow after the Spirit, to be led by the Spirit. And as the Holy Spirit leads us, He always leads us into that which is lawful, but He also leads us even further to live above the law. The fruit of the Spirit, the sevenfold fruit, it says against such there is no law. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, meekness, faith, temperance. You look at all the sevenfold fruit of the Spirit, there's never been one law that's been passed that tells you how joyful you can be, or how peaceful you can be, or how loving you can be. Against the works of the flesh, there's all kinds of laws that either make it illegal or limit what you can do in the flesh. But nothing limits what we can do in the Spirit. And so it's a wonderful thing to be led by the Spirit. Now, when we look at ourselves, apart from Jesus Christ, none of us have the ability to properly direct our lives. We do not have a wisdom in ourselves that could direct our steps and those steps be wise steps. Look at Jeremiah 10 and verse number 3, where we see that it's not natural to be able to lead ourselves. Jeremiah 10 verse 23 says, O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. Then the Bible tells us in Psalms 37:23, the steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. And so God wants to direct your steps. He wants to show you the way that you should go. Just like God did with the children of Israel in the wilderness, he led them each and every way. Remember, the cloud by day, the pillar of fire by night, directed them exactly where they should go through the wilderness journeys. Now, when we follow our own way, it always leads to death and destruction. Proverbs 14:12 says, there's a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. You go your own way, you do your own thinking, and it's going to lead in death and destruction. But you follow after the Spirit, you're led of the Holy Spirit, it leads in life, righteousness, and peace. Now, it's a wonderful thing to realize that the Almighty God, who created heaven and earth and everything that is, who's high and holy, would even care, let alone delight, in directing our paths. We're but dust. We're just like a speck of dust on a scale. Seemingly unimportant, but yet to God we are very important. He loves us, and he wants to direct our ways. In Isaiah 48:17, we're told this: Thus saith the Lord, thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, I am the Lord thy God, which teacheth thee to profit, which leadeth thee by the way that thou shouldest go. Here, the Almighty God, he says, I lead you by the way that you ought to go. Now, is it a common thing to be led of the Spirit of God? Well, I said it should be a common thing. Oftentimes, I think that instead of a thing that's quite common, it is rather seems to be quite rare among believers, or at least believers that have the assurance that the Lord is indeed leading me. Let's look at some examples in the Scriptures, how that Jesus, the apostles, and other Christians were led by the Spirit. First of all, starting out with our Lord, Jesus was led into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. In Luke 4 and verse 1, and Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan, notice this, and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. After fasting for 40 days and 40 nights, the Holy Spirit led Jesus Christ then to be tempted of the devil. This is actually found in three different Gospels. In Matthew 4:1, it says, then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. Mark 1:12, and immediately the Spirit driveth him into the wilderness. It's interesting here that the word led of the Spirit is called driven by the Spirit. The same sense is used in the book of 1 Peter, where it talks about holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. This idea is of a wind directing a ship on the sea. I see you have the picture of a ship there. Wherever the wind blows, that's where the ship goes. And wherever the Holy Spirit leads, we should be following. He was driven of the Spirit. Now consider some other believers as well as the apostles. Philip, the evangelist, one of the first deacons of the church. It says that he was led to witness to the Ethiopian eunuch. Actually, maybe if we just open our Bibles and turn to Acts chapter 8, we'll just look at this here. Philip had been led of God to go to Samaria and preach the gospel to them. And after he completes this mission, he's now led to go to speak to the Ethiopian eunuch. You read here, beginning at verse number 26, it says, "And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise, go thy way to the south, unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert." And then he meets this Ethiopian eunuch, and it says in verse 29, "Then the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near and join thyself to this chariot." Oftentimes, the leading of the Holy Spirit will be leading us to witness to a particular individual. You've undoubtedly have this situation where you feel impressed. Give that person a tract, or go up and talk to that person. And you know, when we obey the leading of the Holy Spirit, we say, you know, Lord, thank you for using me. Thank you for giving me that opportunity. And sometimes, if you're like me, when the Lord says, go talk to that person, we begin to argue with the Lord. We say, that person doesn't look like he's interested at all. That person looks like a hard case. You know, I don't think you've got the right person, Lord. And you know, you ever argue with the Lord by that? But you know, then when you submit and say, okay, I'm going to do it anyway. And then we go, and then we see that that person was ready. That person was prepared. And it's a wonderful thing to be led of the Spirit and then to obey the leading of the Holy Spirit to witness to people. So he was led of the Spirit. And then after he finished witnessing to him, and this Ethiopian eunuch did get saved, then you find here in verse number 39, "And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing." And then we see, "But Philip was found at Azotus, and passing through, he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea." The Holy Spirit is leading Philip to go from place to place to place, witnessing to people and preaching the gospel. And so Philip was led by the Spirit. Peter was led by the Spirit. When the gospel was to come to the Gentiles, the Holy Spirit specifically led Peter to go to Cornelius and his household and tell them the words whereby they must be saved. As he's recounting this event, and remember, the gospel had never gone to the Gentiles yet. There were a few Gentiles that had been saved, but it wasn't that they were saved because of purposeful witnessing of the church. But here, the Lord is opening the door to the Gentiles, and Peter, the apostle to the Gentiles, is going to be the first one to bring the gospel to the Gentiles. Up until that point, they preached to none but the Jews only. Look what Peter says as he recounts his experience. He says, "And the Spirit bade me go with them, nothing doubting. Moreover, the six brethren accompanied me, and we entered into the man's house." The Spirit bade me go. The Holy Spirit led him to go to talk to Cornelius and his household. What was the result? Well, Cornelius and his whole household, his children and servants and all that were gathered there, were saved that day as they heard the word of God. We read that Paul and Barnabas were also led by the Spirit of God. In Acts chapter 13, the Holy Spirit led them and separated them unto the gospel ministry of missions. We read in Acts 13, verse 1, there were these different men that were serving in the church at Antioch of Syria. And verse number 2 says, "And as they ministered to the Lord, the Holy Ghost said, Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them." Then in verse 4, it says, "And they being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed unto Seleucia, and from there they sailed to Cyprus." And then you have their first missionary journey beginning. As they continued to preach the gospel on this missionary journey, the Holy Spirit was leading them from place to place to place. You get to Acts chapter 16, and you find here that there were certain places that the Holy Spirit did not want them to go. Oftentimes we look at a map or we travel about and we say, well, that'd be a good place to start a church. That'd be a good place to start a church. And every place, of course, is a good place to start a church. You need a church in every locality. However, God doesn't necessarily want you to be the one to go there. He may want you to go somewhere else. And so you get to Acts chapter 16. Look at verse number 6 and 7. It says, "And when they had gone throughout Phrygia and the region of Galatia, and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia." The Holy Spirit says, "I don't want you to go to Asia." Now, this would be what we call Asia Minor. It'd be the area of Turkey primarily today. I don't want you to go there. And after that, they were come to Mysia, and they essayed to go to Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. The Holy Spirit said, "I don't want you to go to Bithynia." Now, hadn't the Lord said, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature"? Hadn't God said that? Yes, He did. However, God wanted somebody else to go to Asia, somebody else to go to Bithynia. He wanted them to go to Macedonia, to Greece. And the first city that they went to was Philippi. Now, if you're just looking at circumstances, you get to Philippi, you begin preaching the gospel, and almost immediately you get thrown into prison. Do you think they were doubting whether God had led them there? They weren't doubting because they were praising God and rejoicing in prison. They knew that they were led of God, that this was a divine appointment. Now, concerning somebody going to Asia and Bithynia, if you go with me to 1 Peter 1:1, I want to show you something here. 1 Peter 1:1. Peter, as he writes this general epistle to believers, you read this: "Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia." So Peter is writing to these believers in Asia and Bithynia. Somebody else went there and preached the gospel to them. And so the Spirit of God led somebody, but it wasn't Paul and Barnabas. And so it's a great thing to be led of the Spirit of God. What time are we supposed to be done?
Quarter after,
okay. If I start talking fast, I start mixing up my words, so at least you can read it and reinterpret it, what it's supposed to be. Then note also that Simeon was led of the Spirit to worship the Lord Jesus Christ. "And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. The same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law." On the eighth day, they came to bring Jesus Christ to be circumcised according to the law. Now, he was led of the Spirit to go to the temple at that particular time so that he could see the Messiah and that he could worship. Now, you notice something interesting here. Just looking at these various scriptures, the Holy Spirit leads us to witness. The Holy Spirit leads us where to witness. The Holy Spirit also leads us to be tested, to be tried. The Holy Spirit leads us to worship the Lord Jesus Christ. It's just interesting to know how and what the Holy Spirit does lead us to do as believers. Elijah, he was a man that was known to be led by the Spirit. Man who's speaking here is the man, the prophet Obadiah. And he says here, "And it shall come to pass, as soon as I am gone from thee, that the Spirit of the Lord shall carry thee, whither I know not. So when I come and tell Ahab, and he findeth thee not, he shall slay me." Obadiah the prophet says, "Elijah, God's leading you everywhere. Nobody can ever find you." And he says, "Now, you tell me to go tell Ahab you're here, but I know you're going to be somewhere else because the Holy Spirit keeps leading you to other places." The Spirit of God led this prophet Elijah. Also, the Holy Spirit of God directed the prophets to write down the scriptures. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 20 and 21. "Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the scriptures of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not at no time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake," notice this, "as they were moved by the Holy Spirit." The Holy Spirit led them to write down the exact words. Every word of God is given by inspiration of God. Every word of God proceeds out of the mouth of God. The Holy Spirit spake, and then these prophets simply wrote down what the Holy Spirit was moving them to write down. Now, I want you to note on the next page here some things that will be true if we're led by the Spirit of God. So the question is, how can I discern the leading of the Holy Spirit? Well, there'll be some things that will be true. First of all, is that the Trinity always agrees together. What the Spirit of God leads us to do will always agree with what the Word of God says. In 1 John 5, 7 and 8, we read this, "For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. These three are one. And there are three that bear witness in the earth, the Spirit, the water, and the blood. And these three agree in one." And so the Holy Spirit would never lead us contrary to the Word of God and the will of God. Now, sometimes people say that, you know, God led me to do this. Now, you've heard of these, you know, I call them psychos. You know, they say, "God told me to kill this person." You ever hear some of those court cases? I have a clipping out of a paper that says, "A stripper for Jesus." And this stripper said, "God led me to become a stripper." Now, I know that God did not lead this lady to become a stripper, because it says that women are to adorn themselves in modest apparel. Not to take off modest apparel, but to put on modest apparel. And so she was not led by the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit will never lead us contrary to the Word of God, nor contrary to the will of God. They always agree in one. There is union and there is unity in the Trinity. Furthermore, because the Holy Spirit is holy, He will always lead us into holiness, never into sin. The word holy means to be separate from sin unto God. And so He's going to always lead you to be holy rather than carnal. The Holy Spirit, thirdly, guides us into all truth. He'll never lead us into false doctrine or error. Jesus said this in John 16:13. "Howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth. For He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and will show you things to come." And so the Holy Spirit is going to lead us into truth. As he teaches us the scriptures, he's going to lead us into the truth of the scriptures. Now, if the Holy Spirit is teaching us, he'll teach us all the same thing. He's not going to teach me something from a particular passage of scripture and then teach Pastor Klein or Pastor Stastny something completely different. He's going to lead us to the same understanding because he is the author of the scriptures. He's the interpreter of the scriptures. Let me just say this. I don't believe that the Holy Spirit leads a person into Calvinism. Because that is not the truth of the scriptures. He leads us rather into a biblical understanding of how there's the responsibility of man, but also the sovereignty of God, and how that they work together perfectly in salvation. The Holy Spirit doesn't lead us into pedobaptism. Pedobaptism is a baptism of infants. Because the Bible teaches believers' baptism. If thou believest, thou mayest. Acts 8 and verse 37. And so the Holy Spirit is going to always lead us into the truth, never away from the truth. The fourth thing here, D, because the Holy Spirit glorifies Christ, he will lead us to glorify Christ, to bring glory to God. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto thee. So it's always going to be to the praise and the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ, how he leads us. The Holy Spirit will also lead us into obedience and righteousness. Note Romans 8 and verse 4. That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And so he's going to lead us into righteousness. What is righteousness? Righteousness is doing what is right. Following after the Lord. And so he's going to lead us into the righteousness of the law. Not to be saved, but because we are saved. To follow after Christ. Ephesians 5:9 says, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. So he's going to lead us into that which is good, which is righteous, which is truth. As we walk after the Spirit, he will produce the fruit of the Spirit in us. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And so as we are led by the Spirit, he is going to lead us not only to the righteousness of the law, but he is going to lead us to fulfill that which is above the law. When we are led by the Spirit, we're living above the law. If you're just living at this lower level, you're always subject to the commandments of the law. But as a believer in Christ, we can live above the law. We never become lawless. We fulfill all the demands of the law, but we're living in grace. We're doing that which God would have us to do. The law never touches, again, how much you can love. How much you can be peaceful, how gentle you can be, how much faith you can have. The law does not deal with those things, but it deals with those things that are carnal. You know, lusting, telling the truth, stealing, all of these things. If we're led by the Spirit, we live above the law. And so it says, against such there is no law. Now, let me just give you some cautions and warnings here. As we're led of the Spirit, one of the things that we must do as believers is to learn to try the spirits. There are seducing spirits, according to 1 Timothy 4, verses 1 through 5. And how do we try the spirits? Well, we put them to a test. Look at 1 John. Chapter 4, verses 1 through 3. 1 John chapter 4, verses 1 through 3. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits. The word try means to test them. Any of you guys machinists? Anybody a machinist? I used to work in a machine shop, and we had what we call a tri-square. Is a perfect 90 degrees, and we could see if we had something square. You put that square against it, and it tries the squareness of something. And if you can see a gap, you know that your piece is not square. And so you're testing, you're proving. And so try the spirits, whether they are of God. Because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby we know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and is now even already, it is in the world. And so we try the spirits. What does this spirit say about Jesus Christ? Does this spirit confess that Jesus Christ is God come in the flesh? Or does this spirit say that Jesus Christ was only a man? You take the teachings of the Watchtower Society, Jehovah's Witnesses, and you compare what they say about Jesus Christ with what the scriptures teach about Jesus Christ, and what do you find? They have a false spirit about them. They do not speak according to the truth of the scriptures. And so we need to always try the spirits, realizing there are seducing spirits. Quickly here, go to 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 5. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some should depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits. Notice that term, seducing spirits. They're not the spirit of truth. And doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry, and commanding to abstain from meats which are created to be received with thanksgiving of them that believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing is to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving, for it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. And so here's an example of some seducing spirits. They're telling people that you're not to marry and you abstain from certain meats. Now, do you have any particular religious organization that comes to mind when you know you have this forbidding to marry and to abstain from meats? Well, you may think of the Roman Catholic Church, and they have practiced this abstaining from meats and forbidding to marry. That's one way that we can know that, well, they're not of God. And so we must try the spirits. Now, I want you to note here a third thing about a third caution is this. Our human spirit can be affected by our emotions and desires, and these emotions and desires can be so strong that they can confuse us, and we can think that we're being led by the Spirit when actually we're just being driven by our emotions. We can mistake this for the leading of the Spirit. An example, if you study the book of Acts chapter 21, where Paul is determined to go to Jerusalem to worship. And you have four different times that Paul, I'm starting to talk fast and sputter, that Paul was warned of the Holy Ghost not to go up to Jerusalem. But he was so in love with the Jewish people and loved his nation that he was driven by his emotions, I believe, against the clear teaching of the Holy Spirit, and assuming that this was just going to be a trial and a test of his devotion, his willing to sacrifice. And of course, as the Lord had warned, he was arrested, he was bound, and he was limited As to what he could do, he could not freely travel and preach the gospel as before. One thing, especially for young people, and I guess not necessarily just young people, but romantic feelings can easily mislead us, where you develop romantic attachments towards a person, and you can convince yourself that this is God's will for you. That's why we believe that you ought to work with your parents. They are God-given authority, and they're the ones to help you and direct you in finding your life's partner. They're not romantically attached to that person. And they've been around the block a few times. And they can help guide you. Is this God's choice for you? Is this a person that you ought to marry? And so just realize that our human spirit can be affected by emotions and desires. Another thing about when the Holy Spirit leads us, there'll be no need for manipulation or deception. If you have to feel like you need to manipulate, if you need to cause something to happen, then it's not the Holy Spirit leading you. So just in conclusion here, how to know the leading of the Spirit of God? Well, the things that be true of the Spirit, as we looked above, we are to examine everything by the Word of God. 1 Corinthians 2:15 says, "He that is spiritual judges all things by the Word of God." It's going to fit in with Philippians 4:8 and 9, things that are true, lovely, of good report, and so forth. By experience, and as you walk in faith, as you learn the Scriptures, as you learn how the Holy Spirit leads, you gain that experience where it's much easier for you to discern the leading of the Holy Spirit and how that He speaks and how that He leads. The normal Christian experience should be that we are regularly, rather than rarely, led by the Spirit of God. So, as you see this teaching of the Bible on the leading of the Holy Spirit, basically daily, you should sense the leading of the Holy Spirit. As you yield your life to Him and you say, "Lord, would you direct my steps? Would you lead me?" You should be able to sense God directing you where to go, what to do, what not to do, who to witness to, and so forth. It's a wonderful privilege that we have.